Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Inshallah, in today's talk, we'll continue Kitab al-Buyu from Imam Tirmidhi's book, Jami' Tirmidhi. And we'll, inshallah, try to cover five to six chapters from Kitab al-Buyu, which is the book on business. And we have covered so far, I believe, the first 11 chapters of the book, and we'll continue on. And in these chapters, as I mentioned before also, we'll try to do, I'll try to restrict my talk to the chapters which are mentioned in the book. And we'll do the very same thing with the question and answer as well, that we restrict it to the topic. This way, inshallah, we'll get most benefit as we can, because I can see that there can be more and more questions regarding the subject, but which will be outside these chapters we are discussing here. And we will do that, inshallah, the other questions that we have about the subject, they will come in the later chapters, and we'll cover them there. And what we'll do is one of the things I'd like to do is, probably not next time, or the probably a time a week after that next time, try to make one session which will be based on just the question and answers for so far, whatever we have covered, because there are multiple things that we are covering. And some of the things that we see in the ahadith that we will be covering here, they may not look like directly connected to today's life, but actually they do tell us the principles on which we can build the new scenarios, and we can get the answers for those questions that are relevant to today's life as well. So the chapters that I'm covering today are from chapter 12 through 17, and they will cover... one of the subjects would be regarding buying the goods outside the city, when the people who are going to sell the things, and a buyer goes and buy it ahead of time, because there is an issue of cheating involved here. Second chapter is about, the title is that the dweller of the town is not to sell on behalf of the Bedouin or the people who are coming outside the city, who are villagers or the one who are Bedouins. The next chapter, chapter 14, talks about the prohibition of muhaqala and muzabana, and we'll go into a little bit of detail of that as well, what they mean. Then the chapter 15 talks about the karahiyah, or dislike to sell fruits until they begin to blossom. And chapter 16 is about the sale of habla, which is you are trying to sell something that has not come into existence, and which is, let's say, a baby calf. So actually, not only the baby calf, the baby calf that will come out of the baby calf that's not in existence yet. And Islam prohibits that as well. And we'll talk about that also, what is the reason behind it, what we can learn in today's life as well. And the last one is about sales of gharar. Gharar means cheating. And as a matter of fact, the first five chapters are connected to the last chapter that we'll be discussing here, which is about cheating, when we are cheating in our transactions of business. So the chapter 12 that discusses, first I'll go with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith which is an Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, an-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu naha an talaqqi al-buyu'. That Rasulullah, this is the hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud, and it says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the sale of talaqqi al-buyu', is the term which is used, which is basically meeting the owners of the goods outside, well, before they enter into the city where they're going to sell their goods. And there's another hadith about on the same subject. The two hadith mentioned in this chapter. The other hadith is, this is by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, says, عن أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن يطلق الجلد فإن طلقه إنسان فابتاعه فصاحب صاحب السلعة فيها بالخياد إذا ورد السوق. This hadith, the meaning is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited meeting the goods being brought to the market. If someone were to meet them and buy them, then the owner of the goods retain the opinion or option when he reaches the market. Now, just reading the hadith does not give the essence behind these two hadith. The meaning of these hadith is actually this. And we have to always know what are the circumstances that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said these things. So in that time, in those times, the villagers or Bedouins, they used to bring their crops or the fruits that they had, or any kind of a goods they used to bring to the city to sell. And some of the people, what they would do is, they used to go outside the city before these people would enter into the city and buy all the goods from them. So there are two problems happening out of that. One was these buyers or buyer. So there are two terms that you hear here, the mushtari and the buyer. One is the buyer, one is the seller. So in this case, the buyer would go out and buy either all the goods from those people who are coming in to sell, and that would cause monopoly. And a monopoly in Islam is not allowed. Meaning, they will buy all the goods, and now they will bring into the city, and they will set whatsoever price they want, and they can get it out of them. So that was one problem with this sale. Second problem was, normally, the people who are from the villages, or the Bedouins, they're not aware of the prices in the city for those things. So when these city dwellers, they would go and they buy the things ahead of time, they can cheat. They can tell them that the prices of the goods are lesser than what they're hoping or they're expecting. And in reality, the price is much higher. So this way, the people who have brought the goods to sale, they can lose their profit. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prevented the people from this kind of a loss. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited these kind of a sale. Now, the question that comes in, and this is where sometimes we find differences among the a'imma, meaning the scholars, that exist about if these kind of a sales are allowed in Islam or not. Now, as far as Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah goes, his understanding about these ahadith is that if the city dweller goes and he says words from his mouth, meaning from the qawl, from the sayings, that he says certain things which is basically cheating the person, in this case it is allowed for the seller to do the to finish this sale, and he can take the buyer to the court, to the qadi, and ask for this sale to be voided. Okay. Now, while according to Abu Hanifa, if the very same sale is done in a way he did not say things from his words, but from his actions, he showed to the seller that caused him to sell the goods at a cheaper price. Meaning, he tried to act like this, that the market is down, there's nobody out there to buy anything. He's not saying directly to him, but from his actions, somehow he presented this case. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, in this case, the sale is valid. While in the other, when it comes to the other three a'imma, they go by all, they say whether it's by saying or by his actions. Either way, the seller has the right to void this kind of a transaction. Okay? But one thing has to be understood here well. In both cases, Whether a person is following what Imam Abu Hanifa's opinion is or other Aimma's opinion is, at the end of the day, if there is a cheating involved, the sale can be voided. And if it can be voided, then in that case, the case has to be taken to the Qadi. So there has to be a Qadi involved, a judge who will pass the verdict on Islam. Okay? So without that, of course, all these things seem like out of context and you cannot really move forward here. Now, the other a'imma, they actually take the other hadith, the second hadith that I mentioned, in which case, the hadith that ends with إِذَا وَرَدَ that فِيهَا بِالْخِيَارِ إِذَا وَرَدَ السُّوْقِ, that he has the khiyar, he has the option, the seller. In case he finds that there is a cheating involved, he has the khiyar to end the transaction that had already happened. Okay? Now, so the three a'imma besides, whenever, by the way, the books, especially the Hanafi books, when they mention Imam Abu Hanifa's opinion, and then they say the a'imma thalatha, then automatically by default for them, it means is they're referring to the other three imams, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, and Imam Hanbal. Now, here they talk about these three scholars, and what's mentioned is that these three scholars say, because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear about this. It is saying that the seller has the khiyar. He has the khiyar. He has the option. He has the choice that he can end this transaction that has already happened because he has found there is a there is cheating involved. So that's a pretty much about for this chapter, which is mentioned about buying the stuff ahead of time. Or ahead of time means going outside the city and you're buying the goods from the sellers, and there is a chance that you a person can cheat. So cheating is a key thing here that can invalidate the transaction that has happened. Now, the next chapter, which is mentioned, is the title is "Ma Ja'a La Yabi'u Hadiru Liban." That in this chapter, the dweller of a town is not to sell on behalf of the libad. Bad means either Bedouin, or it could be referred to as a villager, or whatsoever. I mean, the people, the countrymen, who are coming into the city and trying to sell goods. So this hadith is, so Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned here, which is reported by Abu Huraira, عن Abi Huraira radiallahu an, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, وقال قتيبة يبلغ به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يبيع حاضر لبان, that there is no Rasulullah is saying the dweller of the town is not to sell on behalf of the Bedouin. It's as simple as that. Now this hadith and other hadith actually will clarify what exactly it means, inshallah I'll go in a little bit detail also. The other hadith in this chapter is by Jabir radiallahu anhu. And he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَبِعُ حَادِرٌ لِبَعْ دَعُوا النَّاسَ يَرْزُقُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. The hadith says, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the dweller of the town is not to sell for the Bedouin, leave the people. Allah provides for some of them through others. Okay. Now, what is he talking about? Again, we have to know the context of the hadith. Now, here what happens is, when the villagers or the Bedouins, when they go to sell the goods, now the city dwellers, what they can do is, they can go and they can say, you know, first of all, they can say, really, the market is really down. Or the person who's trying to sell, he's in big need. So he would go and take the goods from him. Okay, first he can do by, he can say, I will sell it on your behalf. Okay, later on, when the prices are better than what it is now. Now, hadith is saying that even in this kind of a scenario, where they will end up selling the goods at a lower price, for example, Allah will benefit or provide the risk from some to the others. Now, you may think, in this case, if they sell it later on, they may have higher prices. But at the same time, if you look at the broader picture of this very same scenario, you will see that those people, if they sell the goods at this point, at this price, whatever is right now, then the people may get benefit out of it. So there are people who are getting benefit out of it. So because of that, it is it helps the other part of the community to get the benefit out of it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here said that there is a benefit for some people from the others. That's one thing. Second is, the thing is, the people who are in the city, and this is what in general the whole scenario is about, that the city dwellers in many cases like this, they can cheat the one who are coming from outside the city. And we know that, even though this is talking about the hadith here about the Bedouins, we can think of even back home in our countries or even here as well, the people normally who are from the villages or the countrymen, they are normally very simple people. And the people who are living in the city, they think they are smart, because if they are, their smartness is causing them to go against the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not really smartness, but they think they are smart, they can make more money out of it or by cheating the other people. And this is one of the things that happened a lot. So now here, Islam actually comes in not just trying to patchwork, whether this case or other cases. Islam hits the root cause, and is trying to stop the problem from the root. So this does not even happen. So just because you start following Islam, you become smart automatically. So the chances of being fooled has been taken away. So that's the idea. And this is not only for this. There are many, many places where just being a Muslim, when you are following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you automatically avoid a lot of chances where you can be fooled. In some cases, people might think that you have been fooled, but if you are still following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe apparently for some people it looks like you are being fooled. That's sufficient for a Muslim that he continue to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And that is a much bigger benefit in this dunya or in the akhirah than try to be smart and try to outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just get some worldly gains. Okay? Now, the other next chapter in this book is, this is a little bit complicated, but I'll try to make it simplify as much as possible. This chapter talks about the prohibition of muhaqala and muzabana. The hadith says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المحاقلة والمزابنة. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he prohibited muhaqala and muzabana. So first we have to know what is muhaqala and what is muzabana to even discuss this idea. What is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioning here? And here Abu Isa. So whenever in the book of Jami' Tirmidhi, we hear the word Abu Isa, rahimahullah, it automatically means it is talking about Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. So this is the kunya, as we discussed last time also, this is the kunya of Imam Tirmidhi. And he says, he mentions actually, that one of the hadith that Abu Hurairah, radiallahu, this hadith of Abu Hurairah, he says, this hadith is Hasan wa Sahih. And he says, وَمُحَاقَلَ بَيْعُ الزَّرْعِ بِالْحِنْطَى, that this is the sale of the crops of the hinta. Hinta is a wheat. Okay, so muhaqala refers to the standing crops of the wheat, meaning the wheat is still on it, on the crops. It has not been cut off yet, taken off. وَالْمُزَابَنَ بَيْعُ الثَّمَرْ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ النَّخْلِ بِالْتَمْرِ, and the muzabana is the when the fruits are, or the dates are still on the palm trees, and you are trying to sell that. Okay? And then it says, وَالْعَمَلُ هَذَا عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ أَهْلِ عِلْمُ كَرِيمُ بَيَّ الْمُحَاقْلَ وَالْمُزَابَنَا. So most of the jamhur of the ulama, they consider this as there is a kariha, that there is makruh. Okay? Now, why is it considered makruh when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying naha? Naha means prohibited. So not, this is another thing that has to be understood. Just because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned something as prohibited does not necessarily mean it becomes haram, by the way. Okay? So we have to look into the indicators on the hadith, or the qareena from using the qareena to understand what exactly the meaning is here. Now, when does this happen? Let's first understand this, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail regarding when it's allowed, when it's not allowed. So people normally, what they do is, they when they are doing, the farmers normally, so when they have crops are ready, or they're ready to be cut, they're not cut yet, so but then they are in need of money. Okay? So what they do is, they used to do was, they would say, okay, give me certain amount of, for example, in the case of muhaqqala, some certain amount of wheat, and when that part of my crops will be cut, you can take that. Or when they will ripe, you can take that. Now, why is it not allowed here? The reason behind that is, first of all, inshallah, when we go into the detail of the riba or usury, which we have covered that outside the Imam Tirmidhi's book, but when we will go in that, in those chapters as well, we'll discuss that in more detail. But here, the issue is the riba, because we are doing a transaction of the same jins, same kind, and there is a chance that a person who will take or taking part of the crops, he may end up with more wheat or less wheat. So definition of the riba is, when you are doing this transaction of the same kind, and you will end up with more or less, that is considered as riba. And we'll go into detail later on, as I mentioned, because what are the kinds they can fall under the riba, what are the kinds that cannot be. And of course, they have to be the one that is sold in by weighing or by measuring. Okay. Again, there is a difference of opinions among the a'imma regarding what are the things are involved in this, can be considered as part of riba, and what are the things that cannot be considered as riba as well. But that's a subject which is beyond today's topic. So that's the part of the muhaqqala. And when it comes to muzabana is about the fruits. Now, very same thing can happen on the fruits as well. When you are selling the fruits which are already on the trees, they might look like they will grow good, but the problem here is with the muzabana, that you may again, the fruits that you have taken off the tree, they may be more or less than the one that you are taking in exchange. And this is what Islam is preventing us to do. So the issue here is not necessarily just the issue of dates here or the wheat, but the thing is that can lead into a transaction which will involve riba. And riba is the thing which is haram here. Now, about the muhaqqala and muzabana, there are other hadith which are mentioned here, and the next hadith which is mentioned here is, it says, عن عبد الله بن يزيد أن زيدا أبا عياش سأل سعد عن البيضاء بالسلط فقال أيهما أفضل قال البيضاء فنهى عن ذلك وقال سعد سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل عن اشتراء التمر برطب فقال لمن حوله ينقص رطب إذا يبس قال نعم فنهى عن ذلك. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the questions, first of all, regarding the white wheat in exchange of barley, if it is allowed or not. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. And then the other hadith asked, other part of the hadith asked, that if the dried dates can be sold for the exchange of the ripe dates. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is there a chance that when the fresh dates will shrink, they will have lesser price or higher price? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. So he prevented them to do this kind of action again. Again, there is, the issue here is, when it comes to the dates, is a same kind of a good that has been, that the transaction is happening. And there is a chance that what you are doing the transaction of may have less or more. Now, among the scholars, there's a difference here regarding this thing of whether it is by the hal or by the mal, when we are doing the transaction, which one decrease or increase will cause the transaction to be invalid. When it comes to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he actually talks about, as long as at the time of the transaction, at the time of transaction, if they are of the equal weight or equal measurement, that is okay. So he's not going by the actual value of it. While the other three, they say the value has to be same as well. Okay? And this is the one that caused the difference of opinion among the Aimmah as well. Now the next chapter, which is regarding the chapter titled is Ma Ja'a Fi Karahiyati Bay' Al-Khamrati Hatta Yabdu Salahuha, which is dislike to sell fruits until they begin to blossom. Meaning, if you start selling the fruits and you do not know really if they will going to blossom or not, meaning they will really the what you're trying to sell here, they will really give produce anything or not. So that is not allowed. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said عن ابن عمر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع النخل حتى يزهو. Now here the term used is يزهو, which means that it starts looking good to your eyes. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, prohibited the sale of the fruits or the nakhl here basically is referring to the dates itself, not the trees, but the fruit that you will be that will be sold to the people. Now Rasulullah said that it is not allowed until they have blossomed, and blossom means they start looking good to your eyes. Meaning in the case of the when you talk about dates, they turn yellow or they turn reddish. In that case, it is allowed to sell. If not, then it is not allowed to sell. And the other hadith on this subject is by Anas, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع العنب حتى يسود وعن بيع الحب حتى يشتد. That the sale of the grapes is not allowed. And in this case, talking about until they turn black. Black here is referring to the when they are ripe, meaning ripe enough that they cannot be destroyed. They have some value involved. And from these hadith, actually you will find again the difference of opinion among the Aimma. What does it mean by that they have some value? So according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, the opinion is that as long as yazhu, which is he's not talking about just apparently what they look like, rather he's referring to when they have some value or they will really sustain and they will become fruits that will be useful. So that has become a valuable. So it has to become a valuable for the fruit to be sold. Now here, while the others, they stick by the apparent meaning of the ahadith. So the other three scholars, they say it means when the grapes turn black and the dates are turning into yellow and red and the grapes are turning black, this is the time that we can consider these things have some value and now they are sellable. Otherwise they're not sellable. While Abu Hanifa says he's not taking just the apparent meaning, he's going into the meaning which is behind it, which is as long as it has the value. Now, from this these ahadith, Imam Abu Hanifa's opinion actually is not only goes up to this point, what they look like, but he also says that when we are selling, when somebody is trying to sell these kind of a crops or some these kind of a trees, we have to look into three conditions here for the sale. One which is called bay' bishart al-qata, that if the sale is happening with this condition, that the buyer will cut whatever is there right away, then it is allowed, he says. Okay? And the second one, second share, so in this case, of course, there is no loss for anybody. He's selling the fruits or the crops, whatever they are, he's selling, showing them, and saying, okay, this is what you're buying, you're going to cut it off right away, and whatever you get, this is yours. So that's allowed by all of them. And then the second condition is bay'a bi shart at-tark. Yani here saying is this sale is based on that the crops or the fruits will be left on the trees as long as the buyer wishes now. Meaning the ripening of these fruits may take a month, 2 months, 3 months, or whatever period of time. So now here for the sale, the time is not known. For the sale, the time is majhool, the time is unknown. So for transaction like this, it is invalid in Islam. The transaction has to have a specific time connected to it. So because the time is not connected, then it is not allowed. The third one is, which is mutlaq, bay'a, yani, over here, there is no condition, it's set by the buyer or the seller. Okay? Now, since the seller is not putting any condition, and buyer has not signed up for any condition, then it is okay. But if there is a customary thing, there's a traditional thing involved here, that when you do this kind of a sale, which means the buyer can leave his crops for a certain long period of time. Okay? So now here there is a chance for the seller to have some loss. Now there's an example given for this, and that goes along with this. Like for example, in this masjid, for example, or masajid around here, when a qari or the hafiz is brought in to recite for Salatul Tarawih. Okay? Now, of course, to take the ujra for recitation of the Quran is not allowed. Like this, just for recitation of the Quran. Now, here, what the example is given is like this. If there is so somebody comes and he recites the Quran and somebody gives gifts to the person who's reciting the Quran as a gift which is not expected by the reciter. It is allowed for the Hafiz al-Quran to take that as a gift. But if there is a custom where a person recites the Quran and it is expected for him to gain benefit out of it. So he says, this is not allowed. Because now you are getting something which is not allowed by the Shara. You are already reciting with this understanding that you will get the benefit for the recitation of the Quran like this. So here, even though it seems not clearly connected, but the very same hadith can be applied here as well. Now, another reason the ikhtilaf exists among the a'imma is whether this ahadith is just a suggestion by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the way Imam Abu Hanifa took it, or the other three scholars who took it as this is a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's another reason the ikhtilaf exists, whether it's just a suggestion or it is a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next chapter is a simple one, which is the one about Babu Maja'a fi nahi an ba'a hablil habla. Habala. Here is about the sale of the, how do you say, if there's a pregnant camel or pregnant cattle, or you're trying to sell the child of that pregnant, the progeny that will come out of that pregnancy. So in this case, all these things are unknown. And in Islam, this is a basic principle that you cannot sell unknown things. It does not even exist yet. You don't know if the unknown will be dead, or it will even bear another child after they come into existence or not. So that's the hadith about this. This chapter is in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith says عن ابن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع حبل الحبلة, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the sale of the translation is cannot be just There's no, I don't know of any single word that can be used for this. It's more of a, you're trying to sell the fetus of the fetus. Something will come out of the fetus of the fetus. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited. It's not only in the Jahiliyyah they used to do this, but also the very same condition used to be used for buying and selling. For example, if a person is, person A is buying something from person B, with this understanding, when the a pregnant she camel will give birth to a male camel, then he will pay for the goods. Now here, you do not know when the she camel will give birth to a male camel, what time it will give the birth, and if the birth will be even alive or not. So here again, the payment time is unknown. So the principle to understand here is that when you have unknown time mentioned for a sale, it is not allowed in Islam to have a transaction. Now, the next chapter, which is basically kind of cover up a lot of things that we have discussed already. And I know that it becomes kind of a very boring and dry subject when it comes to economics. And especially when we're talking about the subjects that do not seem to be directly relevant to us. But there are a lot of principles which are mentioned here that are useful for today's life. The hadith here, the chapter is Bab Majaa fi Karahiyati Ba'i al-Gharar, that the sale of gharar are disliked. Gharar means cheating. An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qala naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay al-gharar wa bay al-hasah. Hasah is another kind of a bay' which can cause some sort of a unknown actually in your sale transaction. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he prohibited any kind of a sale in which there is cheating involved and there is a hasah. So hasah means that there used to be in the Jahiliyyah, there were two kinds of a sale used to do for hasah actually. One was if a person has a herd of cattle, and so a buyer comes and he says he wants to buy 10, let's say 10 goats. So he will give him 10 pebbles, and he will throw 10 pebbles at the herd, whichever it will hit, those 10 will be his. Now, in this case, maybe the buyers will have more benefit, and maybe he will lose money. Because it all depends on it's again, what you're buying is unknown, and the person who's selling the mabir, the thing that's going to be sold is unknown. So again, unknown is the main thing, the principle here, that you cannot sell unknown things. This is one thing here. Second thing here is, there is a sense of gambling involved here. Because you don't really know which one you're going to buy. So the very same thing can apply to us also. We have to know what we are buying. Okay, it doesn't have to be goats all the time. There have to be sheep, but any kind of a transaction that we are making, that in that transaction the good has to be known, the goods time of payment has to be known, the price has to be known. So these are the main thing that have to be known when we are doing the buying and selling. Okay, and then another kind of hasa is used to be like this, that buyer and seller, they're having a discussion about, they want to buy, they're trying to come to a final price of a good. And the seller, he used to have a pebble in his hand. The moment, whenever he wishes that he wants to say, this is the final price, he will hit the pebble, and that would be the end of the discussion between the buyer and seller. And seller has to buy on that price. Now, in Islam, you cannot just throw pebbles and have a price set like this. The seller and the buyer, they both have, until the end, they have the right to discuss whatever price they want to agree upon. It cannot be just one-sided. In this case, it is one-sided by the buyer, or by the seller. Okay? So it has to be agreed by both. So in today's talk, these are the seven chapters, or six chapters, that I wanted to discuss. And the main subject of this whole thing was actually buying and selling, and doing the buying and selling, it is not allowed to cheat, it is not allowed to have a transaction with a riba, it is not allowed to have a transaction where you can have unknown time or unknown good involved. So I'm going to stop the talk here. And if there is any questions on the subject, inshallah, I'll try to answer.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.